The following program contains scenes and language of a frank and explicit nature. Discretion is advised.
Me?
Yeah, you. It's a prerequisite.
All right.
Push it out, push it, push it. That was very good. Todd Newman back in the house. Good, buddy. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
How are things?
They suck.
Okay. For a second, I swear to God, for a second, I'm like, he might say something positive here for the first time ever.
It was okay when I was still at the house and just the drive over.
It bums you out.
Killed it for me.
Sorry about that. Before we get started, I would like to welcome a new Patreon person to the family, Miss Katina Antonucci. Thank you for joining. If you guys want to support the show, patreon.com/rareformradio. Pick a tier that works for you. Bonus episodes, behind the scenes stuff, blah, 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 early access. And anyway,
dick pics.
We're working on it. We're trying to do a little drop down menu for dick pics.
Trying to get a bigger dick.
Yeah. Yeah, so far it's just all Heidi's dick pics.
Her dick is huge, isn't
dude,
it?
It's clit-ish, but her clit has balls on it, which makes it very weird.
For a clit, you got some set of balls.
Hell yeah, dude. Welcome back. You've been, you just got back from Italy as well.
Yeah, Italy was fucking great.
Give us some cliff notes of that, because you came back a different man.
Yeah, I just want to move there.
It blows my mind.
Yeah, I really do.
You actually...
I had the same experience when I went to Japan and Korea, like Japan more so than Korea. I would... If I could live the way that I vacationed there, you know what I mean? Like just all...
The best of the best everything.
Yeah, like the best hotel and just
private
living
tours
there.
Of
yeah, yeah, private tours and things like that. I would move in a heartbeat. When you fly back into this country, people who travel abroad will know what I'm talking about. You're just like, this place sucks.
I feel the opposite.
It looks like shit. It fucking operates like shit. Nothing really makes sense here either.
Well, especially LA.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
LA 100%.
Yeah. Flying into LA kind of bums me out, because LAX is one of the worst airport experiences in the whole world. Yeah, yeah. In the whole world getting
That's why I don't really like to travel.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
Unless I can go out of Burbank, which is the easiest in the world.
But. Absolutely. That's why I moved to the Valley, just so I could make Burbank my hub for work.
Yeah.
What made Italy so great?
The food, first of all. And I don't... That's a cliche, like, oh, the food, Italy, Italians, you know, with the food and everything. That's not what I'm talking about. You can eat anything there with impunity if you have... food issues here.
You're talking like pasta pizza.
Like if I eat two slices of pizza everything. If I eat pasta or pizza here, a pizza mostly here, like within fucking half hour I got a stomach ache, just because I'm older now, cheese doesn't break down the way it used to or whatever.
And somehow every pizza adds 10 pounds to your body,
right?
Every one.
They just don't put the shit in the food that the American government lets companies put in the food here.
And their government forbids it?
Yeah, I think the government forbids it. And I think the people won't stand for it. There's such a food cuisine cult-based culture.
Right.
They just won't stand for it. It was the same way when I was in France. It was the same way when I was in Japan, same way in Korea. We're like the only ones that really allow fuck what the people feel like. Yeah. But you can eat all day. You won't get... Oh, I got to go take a nap. Oh, I'm fucking so tired. I ate too much. Oh, my stomach hurts from that shit. You just don't get that. You just don't.
Yeah.
So that was one reason. And when you come back and you're just like, I can't even get that stuff here. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Like,
I do.
You just can't even find it here.
Because I feel like shit every single day.
And it's because of the food we eat.
Also, I don't even eat healthy for American standards.
Right.
I eat shitty for an American.
Right, right.
So, like, I mean, I'm like the worst of the worst.
Like, I was eating meals where it was like, first of all, they also don't Americanize the portions.
Right.
They give you, like, what you're supposed to eat and you're fine with it, like, very quickly.
Right.
So it's not, everything's not supersized.
Everything here is family style for one person.
Yeah. Exactly.
So good. But you brought the whole family.
Yeah, brought the whole family. And just the people were fucking great. I heard a lot of people that have been there before that I know were saying like, oh, Italians are kind of like the French. They don't like Americans. Like, that's a stereotype that the French are nasty to Americans. And
a little true.
A little bit true, but like...
Also understandable.
Right, but then I started to realize, taking into consideration the people that were telling me that, I'm like, oh no, it's not that they don't like Americans. It's they didn't like you.
That's funny.
Because like, if you just go with the flow and you're not like obtrusive and da da da, everybody's so fucking nice and cool. Like, it wasn't, I get like when you're staying in a 5-star hotel and that's their job to be nice to you, but I didn't have that experience out in the world of it either.
I have found that the key is to remember that you are the foreigner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be respectful.
Yeah, of course.
You know, be grateful, be respectful, fucking thank someone when they fucking help you out with something. Like
I'm sorry, I don't understand this. Would you mind explaining this to me? You know, just menu things, food and just
every time. Kind. Every time I got annoyed, it was because there was some fucking jerk off American like, this isn't hot enough, or, you know, like just shit like that. Like, embarrassing. It's fucking embarrassing.
I have such a hard time with people talking to wait staff like that or treating anyone as, like, less than infuriates me.
Yeah. I'll get hot with people, but it's reactionary.
Of course.
It's never like entitlement based.
I'm better than you.
Just walking across the fucking street, like here, right when you come back, pull out of the airport and just some fucking jerk off on their phone, taking their time, walking. There's a whole line of fucking cars. Just shit like that doesn't happen there.
No, you're right.
They're like more community oriented.
Or just self-aware.
Yeah.
All of it. Did your kids, I always noticed that kids never really appreciate when they're on vacations or seeing cool shit. How did your kids do with it?
I think they did more this time than just because they're older now. You know, I took Luca to see a pro Italian soccer game.
That must have been insane.
It was I don't care. You can go we saw Milan play Fiorentina. That's Florence's local team. And Milan happens to be my son and we're fans of that team. So they happen to be coincidentally playing. So
what made you Milan fans?
I just have been since I was young.
Why? Was there a player?
The players, yeah. Multiple players. Pirlo, like a bunch of players. So, Ronaldinho, one of the greatest players, he was on Milan for a while. Anyway, you wouldn't relate to any of that, but
I don't. Soccer is tough. Soccer is like
yes, I'm mentally little retarded, but that's okay.
That's me when it comes to soccer.
Is that a retarded Indian?
Yes,
person?
It is. Okay. Yes, it is. Yeah. Okay, good call.
Thank you. I know my retards.
You sure do. You know your retard accents when you hear them.
But we went to the game and just the enthusiasm to the people. Like, first of all, you can't really get a ticket for a good seat because they're all seasoned ticket holders. So the people who are going to every single game that are locals that live there. So we got a hookup and we got tickets and we were kind of off to the side. And then there was another... American couple sitting there and they were like, oh yeah, you can't get those tickets. Like, they told us the ins and outs of it, but the enthusiasm of just this regular game, no championship on, I'll put it up against the fucking Super Bowl or the World Series any day. The crowd, I'll show you the videos later,
please.
The crowds go insane.
And it's just a regular mid-season
game.
Yeah,
just a regular fucking game. Yeah.
Were they rivals?
I mean, well, they're not historically in that way, but yeah, I mean, they're
two Italian teams
playing each other. Yeah, cool. But like, when I told the people at the hotel, I'm like, look, I need to hook up a car because I didn't want to not know where I was going and stuff.
Yeah.
And I told them I had tickets to the game. They were like, oh, you got the tickets. Like, they were like, they've been trying to get tickets to this game, and it happened to be the night before Easter.
Italians so it was are like a so big deal, stereotypically, you know? Italian. It makes me laugh.
Yeah. So,
no, you didn't.
So I don't know. Are you a fan of the movie Defending Your Life? Have you guys seen
that? Albert Brooks?
Albert Brooks, yeah.
I've seen it when I was a kid. I haven't seen it since, but I like his style of movie a lot.
So there's a scene where there's an Italian waiter where Meryl Streep's eating the pasta and whatever. He just looks at the guy at Albert Brooks and he goes, "You like a pies? I'm going to bring you a 9 pies." So we had this one waiter who was like... he was talking to my wife. He's like, she's like, "Can I get a martini or whatever it was?" She's like, he's like, you like a martini? I'm going to bring you 2 a martini. You have one and then one for later." Like, and I was like, that's the guy.
Right?
So for the rest of the trip, like I showed the clip to my kids so they had reference. And everywhere we went, when anyone had an accent, I would just lean into the kids. I go, "I'm going to bring you a..." Like, "Dad, you're going to get our asses kicked." Like, they can hear you.
I'm going to venture a guess that you said that for the rest of the trip. I think it's continued effort.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
I did it last night to them. Yeah.
"I'm going to bring you a 9.
I'm going to bring you a 9 pie."
This one thing we do good is we hone in on one funny thing and use it for months on end.
The thing with that kind of humor is, the trick is, be prepared for it to not be funny and for it to be annoying to the person, because then it comes back around again.
That's the
key. And they can't help finding the humor in it.
You can't do it once and not get a lot. You
have to keep hammering it. There was another time we were in Tuscany, Siena. We got a tour, and it was a local woman that was, you know, our tour guide.
Yeah.
And she grew up there. And Siena's like this mount, like, you know, it's in the hillside, and there was like Museum of Torture was there, because this is where like they stopped all the pilgrims who were coming across and like, "You're a Christian now," like, and tortured them into Christianity, shit like that. So we're she's talking, and like, it was almost like she was doing it on purpose, but she said after every English word she said, and she spoke really slow. So she would say, "You are,"
it's like Heidi,
"standing on sacred ground." And so
I would have blown my head off.
You wouldn't have, because she was so cute almost, like, I wanted to leave my wife and kids and just move and live in Siena with this woman.
Move into a house with her.
Yeah. And like, I told my wife that. I was like, you guys are done. I'm going to marry this chick.
Fight to the death, bitches.
So I started doing that to the kids for the rest of the trip, too. I'm hungry. "What do you want?" Dad, fucking stop it.
You're such a good dad, but you're also such an annoying dad. Oh, it's so great.
That's what I get back.
Of course.
That's the reward I get for being a good dad is to be the most annoying father ever.
That shit that you do is what makes me, the only thing that makes me want to be a dad.
It's the only reason why I had kids.
So good. So fucking good.
So yeah, the trip was awesome.
Awesome. What's the next trip for you guys?
I don't know. This was kind of like, Luke is going away to school next year, so this was like, let's do one big family, just us four, because I don't know when our schedules are all going to be in sync again. So
you should come out to Europe for the Jane store for something.
Yeah, maybe.
There's some.
Where are you guys hitting again?
Oh, where are we going? We start in London for a while. We're there for a bit. Let me look it up here. We're going to like Amsterdam or Madrid.
Amsterdam, I've been there. That's
pretty cool.
Yeah, I love it there.
We're going to Scotland. We're going to Ireland. We're going to...
Ireland now.
Germany. What's Lausanne? Is that Czech? Czech? Okay. I don't know. Zurich.
Czech.
Nickelsdorf. Going back to Italy. Yeah, we're going all over the place. I don't think I'm going anywhere new. Cologne, Paris. Paris is good.
Yeah, Paris is great.
They do fun shows in Paris. Be good to have you out there.
Let's hope it's not one of those Eagles of Death Metal shows, though.
If it do, it'll give the band a nice little boost, though.
Yeah, where are you going to hide?
Do you know what's funny?
Do you consider that?
since Sean London came on Dark Matter, and
which was
story,
one of the best Dark Matters we've ever, we
without
ever did.
Question, I wish all the shows were still online because our friend Sean was a front of house guy, sound man, who we've known for almost 20 years. And he was doing front of house.
And one of the greatest guys ever.
Great dude.
Yeah.
But he was there for the shooting and he came on, must have talked for 2 hours just about his experience and the PTSD and like walked us through it. But since that, and since just there's so many fucking lunatic shooters, every single gig I walk into, I'm like, well, if someone comes here, I'm hiding here. This is where I'm running. If there's a fire, like this is where I'm going. Like
it's crazy. That's how you have to think.
I even think about it because Jane's Addiction missed 2 stage collapses by a day each,
right?
Like 10 years ago or less. So then I'm like, if the stage starts falling, where am I going to dive? How do I dive off the stage?
Right, right.
I try to be aware of all of it. You don't, do you?
I do that when I fly. Ever since, you know, with flying, I just, all right, that I'm watching this guy, I'm watching that guy. If I have to get up and jump over.
Brown guy.
Yeah, if I have to get up and jump over this guy to get out of the plane, you know what I mean? How, like, I start navigating the entire escape.
I get it. I also, like, since I'm an aisle guy on planes anyway, but with all the fucking doors flying off of Boeing planes, I'm done with windows forever.
See, I was always a window guy. And then after 9/11, I became an aisle guy.
Why 9/11?
Because,
you know, they all died.
Well, yeah, but they didn't have me sitting in the aisle.
Fair.
Are you a reactor? Like, if something went down,
yeah, that's why I want to sit in the aisle. Like,
I would sit there and just stare. I'm like, oh, this sucks.
You're like, box cut me here.
Yeah. No, I would start looking for fucking, you know, accomplices and, like, you know, who can I count on here? And
especially if I have a feeling that, like, my life's in danger or that someone's gonna get hurt, I think I'm an actor as well. I get involved.
I almost want something to happen so I can get involved.
I think it's upside down, some shit. Yeah,
I think they're backwards, actually.
I think they are too. There's been plenty of we've talked about this before where I go through periods every couple of years.
Period?
Like, yeah. Where I walk the streets looking for a problem. Like,
I've done
like
that.
Death Wish Dan, where I'm like looking for someone to step to me or like, what are you breaking into a car, motherfucker?
That's
Charles
Bronson in us.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm ashamed of it, but I do it.
Why are you ashamed of it?
I don't, because like to look for violence when like, we should be looking for peace.
What
Todd.
You should be ashamed of is the personalized plate you put on that truck. Because when I pulled up behind it.
Come on, dude, it's great. Don't talk about it.
I was like, oh, I won't say what it is, but the fact that you have a personalized plate changes everything.
I have 2 of them.
All right, one on the front, one on the back.
No, on each Bronco.
I assumed it was 2 of them.
No, on each Bronco.
I can't get behind it, man.
Oh, I love it. Vanity plates are the shit. Do you know the basis for the one that you saw today?
Well, I know.
Okay.
I can't really say, otherwise I'll blow it.
But you do know.
Yeah, I got it right away.
Oh, I love it.
I pulled up right behind the Bronco, and I just rolled my eyes like, what a douche.
Of course you didn't spit on it.
I did.
I'll tell you the other one afterwards. Actually, yeah, you've seen the other one, but vanity plates are the shit.
They're not.
That's how you cut. Dude, how's it?
I'm fine with, like, you want to get, like, you want to pick what color the plates are, because, like, in L.A. or California, we can pick from
a lot of options.
White and black and white, different settings on the little pictures on the plates, but like I'm for that.
Okay.
But personalizing, I guess I can't.
I would think you'd be into it.
No, why? I don't want every fucking person to know when I'm driving, first of all.
That's the only thing that I ever think
car.
About. Right.
Yeah, like
it's tough to have that as a getaway vehicle.
Yeah, exactly.
This plate says Dan Cleary. I think it might have been Dan Cleary. Would you rather have vanity plates or like all kinds of bumper stickers? Let's think about it.
Well, neither.
No, you have to have one.
If I had to choose one.
Like those Vermont hippies with like baby on board, fucking Star Wars shit. Or one vanity plate that says Newman or some shit.
No, I think I would go. Yeah, I can't do the bumper stickers either. Like,
I know. You got to do one.
That's a rough choice. I guess I would have to go vanity plate.
Wow.
Oh, you and my vanity plate would be, I hate vanity plates.
That's good.
I hate vanity PLT.
PLT, not enough space. Yeah. Are you a vanity plate guy?
No, I don't think I would.
Yeah.
just because I don't want to spend money on it.
It's 50. It's just, like a one. It's like $50 a year.
Is that it?
Yeah.
50
it's not,
a year.
Not expensive.
I agree with. Like, I don't want people knowing my car.
And it's
car.
Also like, hey, look at me. I'm a douchebag.
Fuck you. Oh, fuck you. I mean, both of my vehicles are already, hey, I'm a douchebag, so who cares?
Yeah, but
that's... lean into it.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess... you know, I'm proud of you, leaning into your douchebagness.
I appreciate that. I appreciate it very much.
So you just went somewhere that was interesting
Where?
The other night. Didn't you not go to a big event?
Oh, dude. The greatest roast of all time, the Netflix roast of Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watched it?
I watched it last night.
You finished it?
Yeah.
Okay, this idiot skipped around and like just didn't watch it. Didn't
I don't know That's shit right. about football.
Yeah,
so.
But you can still, even if you don't know, I mean, if you know the players in the game, it's funnier. But even if you don't, there were some
I
good
watched
moments.
It with my wife, so I would have to say to her, like, that guy is that. This right. guy does this. This guy is how he knows him. Like, I did have to do a lot of that.
Right.
For her to really get most of the jokes. Like,
yep.
But did you have a good time?
I swear to God. I mean, obviously, I'm a diehard Patriots fan. I love Tom Brady. Unbiasedly, I think it would have been one of the best nights of my life if I wasn't a fan. Mm-hmm. It is, I swear to you, it's the best live event I've ever been to in my life.
Really?
Better than any concert, any comedy show. And we had the shittiest seats. Like a stage left. Like there was one row behind us. Like
right.
truly nosebleeds. Where the roof kind of cut off part of the stage.
And did it you have was those still... little opera binoculars?
Yes. Yes, and the fan.
Yeah.
But it was incredible. I mean, the list of fucking people. Like, look at... Kevin Hart hosted it, who I thought was hilarious the whole time.
He was good, but I don't traditionally like Kevin Hart.
Oh, you don't?
Comedian.
Well, I don't like his comedy.
Yeah,
and I don't like his movies, but when he hosted the Oscars hosting this, he was perfect
there was,
at it.
There was definitely an authenticity to him.
Yeah.
But I'm usually not a Hart fan.
But
it's
we
like you're either Chappelle or your Hart, and you know, Chappelle.
Sure.
You know,
well,
it's out of the world.
Well, that's what the joke about.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So Kevin Hart, Jeff Ross, I mean, the Roastmaster.
We had him on Dark Matter. Jeff Ross is a fucking.
The best.
This is what he's born to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nikki Glaser, who was fantastic.
She was great. And
she always is.
She's been on other roasts before.
All of them.
And,
most of them.
And like, I was on the fence about her, but I've seen a bunch of times she was on Howard and Son. And I was like,
she gets it.
I think she, out of everybody, her bit was flawless. Her
Perfect.
Timing,
yeah.
her rhythm, like, if you're talking on a comedic level
yep.
and like what roasting actually is, and because
yeah.
there is a cadence to it from like the old days and the Friars Club and all, and she got it perfect. I
feel like her and another, I'm not a big fan of this guy, Andrew Schultz. I don't love his comedy, but his execution, it was like a joke, tag that with another, and then like each joke went
See,
with
him,
each other.
I am a fan of his comedy.
Are you?
And I
like his worldviews, not as much as his comedy.
I didn't think he was bad at, by any means, but I was like, I'd rather just see him do a stand-up for half an hour than do
okay.
this.
I mean, so Tony Hinchcliffe, I thought he was fantastic when he went down the row of people talking
Oh, that's
shit.
The guy who's the podcaster?
Yeah.
All right, because right when his face came on screen, I was like, this guy probably has a fucking vanity plate. Douchebag. I've seen him before, like in clips, like when I'm scrolling through, and I just there's just something that rubs me the wrong way about him.
People, he gets that a lot, I'm sure.
He was fucking brilliant.
Yeah,
roast wise.
Yep, really, really
like,
good.
For what I also like, don't know if people really understand too. There's a difference between roasting and roast comedy,
yeah.
and just being funny.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Not all comedians can do this.
No.
And not all roasters can do stand-up comedy.
Right. I mean, you can tell by some of the football players. Like,
of course.
Yeah. They're,
roasting is truly an art form.
Yeah.
Because you cannot hold back at all.
No, you have to have a confidence. Yeah.
And it must be. Have you ever roasted someone besides me every time we do a show? But have you ever like roasted? Like some people
I don't really
have,
need to after that.
Hey-o! Some people have birthdays where like they'll like a 50th birthday, your friends roast.
Yeah.
Could you be roasted? Do you have the backbone and the like, could you deal with it?
I could act like I'm dealing with
but
it.
But inside you're like, oh.
But like I'm gonna get that person back. like without them knowing, like I'm gonna ruin their life.
I'm gonna cut their brakes.
Yeah.
Fucking dick.
Cut their tendon in the back of their heel so they never walk again.
Did you see the roasted Trump? He kind of had that look.
Oh yeah.
He was like, I don't think he realized what he was getting in for.
That's probably when he decided to become president.
Yeah. I'm gonna fuck everybody.
I'm gonna win the presidency and kill these people. But I mean, like that girl Sam J. She was great.
Yeah, she's great.
Tom Segura and Bert Kreischer. Tom Segura is one of my favorite comedians. I thought their bit kind of stunk a little bit.
Yeah. One of the reasons why is I just don't like the goofiness of Bert. What's his last name?
Kreischer. Yeah.
Just the constant like laughing at his own jokes. I get that that's him. I just don't care for it.
There was something that happened live that we saw on the cameras that didn't make the Netflix live cut.
Okay, do tell.
It was wild. It was one of the flashy, funniest moments. So there's a part where... Do you remember who was roasting him? Who made the comment?
That Sam J.
It was Sam J. Yeah. The chick. Mm-hmm. She was saying how like the best comedians like you should be dead already from like a cocaine overdose. They party.
Yeah, well, that was on there.
No,
not all of it.
No,
but that premise was on there.
So she's saying like you know most of the best comedians party and do cocaine and like you're so boring. He reached into his pocket. Pulled out a baggie of cocaine and shook it. The place went nuts. And like Tom Segura, who's his best friend, was mortified. Like, holy, I can't believe you just fucking did that. The whole place.
That's actually now I like him.
You can hear it when you, because I watched it back, you can hear the crowd response, but Netflix didn't add him holding the coke bag.
Yeah.
It was fucking hilarious.
That's cool.
It was one of those things, one of those moments where like, if you weren't there, you missed that.
I was wondering, because I had my suspicions of who was doing cocaine and who wasn't.
We'll get to that because but we'll make a marker on that.
Because you're telling me we've already talked about that. Let's and we'll get to it.
Yeah.
So I was positive that Drew Bledsoe like should be in rehab.
Drew Bledsoe was the quarterback before Tom Brady became Tom Brady. He got injured and that's what gave Brady his chance and then he became Tom Brady.
And ruined Bledsoe's life.
Pretty much. Exactly.
But he was just
And you're doing a lot of, yeah.
And I'm like, there's no way. I even said, turn to my wife. I'm like, there's no way he's not fucking on an eight ball right now.
Right.
Like,
right.
He's got so much cocaine in him. It's so obvious. And you said,
he's a little bit like that.
He's just, but being a little bit like that and being like that.
He might have been on something.
I think I put my money. I'm a fucking ex drug addict.
True.
I fucking put my money on it that he was on blow.
And there was a certain mouth thing when people are on coke.
Yeah, that he was doing.
He wasn't doing the jaw thing, but there was a lot of like touching the nose. There was a lot of like, he could have been super nervous as well, but there was a little cokiness.
Fucking crackhead.
Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
When she, I mean, the list, Sam J, Burke Crusher, Andrew Schultz, Bledsoe, Julian Edelman, Patriot, Gronk, Patriot, Randy Moss.
All right, so let's talk about Gronk.
We'll get to Gronk in one second. Okay, okay. And then Bill Belichick, the coach, the owner, Robert Kraft, Ben Affleck, I want to talk about, Kardashian, Peyton Manning, and Ron Burgundy was one of the highlights.
Yeah, he was.
When Kim Kardashian walked to the stage, the whole place booed. It was so uncomfortable and horrible.
Right. I was booing from my living room.
Boo! So she had to like her first joke. She had to say it twice because the booing was so loud.
Speak over the boos.
So I just read that Netflix edited out the booing
because
I didn't. Part.
See you couldn't hear it too much in you the couldn't. Netflix. No, you and told like, me that they did, but I was like, I didn't hear much.
And they made it so her first joke. I mean, it's better for the.
That's
broadcast.
The way the world works, my friends.
Live,
yeah,
live. So if you watched it live, you saw it, but on the re-edit, it looks like she did a lot better than she did.
Yeah. I don't have anything against her personally. I just, everything that her and that whole family stands for,
I know,
culture wise, I just can't.
It's so weird because she's like a civil rights person. She like fights she does, hard for the environment.
She does really good shit stuff. And I just can't get past.
I get it.
Like what the culture has become because of these people.
Hitler have been a dog lover, but he's still fucking,
Yeah.
He did that other stuff too.
I can't get behind.
What were you gonna say about Gronk?
Oh, I was just gonna say like, cause I've seen him tons of times before. I'm not a Patriots fan.
Everyone knows who Gronk is.
Yeah, I know who he is.
He's fucking Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah, I've seen him on other shows and stuff like that. He used to do some children's game shows too that the kids used to watch.
Yep.
Where he'd be like the co-host or whatever. So I was telling my wife, I was like, watch. She was like, everybody's talking about how dumb he is. Like, I'm curious to hear him talk. And I'm like, he's like the fucking, like, the frat guy, football jacket frat guy that's going to be like, you know, bring more kegs. We're going to fit. Like, he's like he's that. Ogre. He's, I mean, he's
he,
that.
Yeah. He was born to do one thing. And he even said, like, listen, I run into people for a living. Of course I'm stupid.
Yeah. But when he started going off book and off the prompter.
And calling it out.
And like, yeah. And then
I wrote that one.
Yeah. And but it was so obvious that that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
And he's just like, you can stand up and suck my dick, Kevin Hart. Like, and you're like, and he was like leaving the mic and just pointing at him. And yeah. I was like, oh my God, it got really uncomfortable.
Well, that's when Kevin Hart made the comment about like, you're like, you are every white guy that makes us nervous. Like yeah, at a yeah. bar, like, yeah, like he goes, yeah. I'm looking around and see Randy
that's
Moss.
That's how lynchings happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Funny shit. So Gronk's, his senior quote is like, parents, Gordy and Diane Gronkowski, College Choice, University of Arizona, hobbies, working out, playing sports, chicks. That's his actual senior shit.
And the fact that he was like, he's the guy that makes a person that doesn't drink, like, do a shot.
Of course.
Like, he's that guy yeah. who's doing it on yeah. the show, you know?
There's no way, I mean, alleged, I feel like there's no way that all of his sexual encounters are consensual. There's no
and
way.
And there's no way that they're all hetero.
You don't think?
No.
Come on. No, because he's definitely...
No, not. I'm not saying that he's gay, but there's just like guys like that, they'll get into that mode where they'll
the
fuck
hole.
Anything. Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. And you know,
and let's
you can't talk
stop
about,
him.
Let's talk about it because many people brought it up as jokes. Tom Brady's 100% gay.
The best line was like, I don't know how, but you look like a gay Tom Brady.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a great line.
Yeah. And if you look at him, like when they were cutting away to him, when yeah. you know, his reactions and stuff, he does have like this weird, like,
yeah,
gaze about him.
Get it?
Gaze yeah. with a Y,
yep.
with an A and a Y.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's a weird guy.
I haven't seen him on I haven't seen him in a while on anything. And like historically I would argue that, but now watching him, like, he is a little weird.
When they showed him dressed up in that fucking thing where it was like some weird Star Wars outfit,
yeah,
or whatever,
at the Met Gala.
I was like, "Oh my God." Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're making jokes about the obvious.
Of course.
Is what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Like, do you remember the jokes they were making about this guy named Alex Guerrero? They kept pointing to him in
yeah,
the crowd.
Yeah.
Do you know that deal?
No, I know. No, I don't know. I mean, I know kind of who that guy is, but I don't know what
he basically is. The person who got Tom into this like crazy nutrition regimen and like no sugar, no, just
yeah,
so strict.
Gay food.
And, of course. And he's the one that people claim.
What gays eat.
Exactly.
Which is why they look amazing and we don't.
People have pointed to him for a long time as being like he would be part of negotiations. He would travel with the team everywhere. He was weird, and I guess people hated dealing with him because
right.
it's probably pretty obnoxious.
Right.
But yeah, Tom he's a weird dude. And yeah. there's a lot of comments. I didn't realize how weird his friends thought he was.
Oh yeah.
And like no sense of humor.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
nothing. But
gay.
Yeah. Have you ever been to a roast? Like a proper, like one of these roasts?
Not like the Comedy Central ones, like where you're in the audience. I've been to them on a smaller scale where they're not televised.
If there's ever another one in LA, whoever it is, right. I really think we should go.
Yeah, I'm
it
totally
was so
into it.
Fun.
Yeah, I'm totally
really,
into
really
it.
Good time. And like, I figured there would be like obviously Patriots fans there, but people like walking in and talking to people. People travel from all over the country to come see this. I didn't realize how big it was going to be.
Well, I guess the fact that Netflix is taking it, I assume they're taking it out of the hands of Comedy Central.
It feels that way.
Which is a smart move, I think,
sure.
on their part. But
Comedy Central, I mean, is it? It's pretty much dead. I feel like.
Yeah, but I mean, that was the home of the roasts.
Yes,
that's
of
where
course.
All the ones we've seen already have been that production. And if Netflix is going to do it, of course they're going to blow it out of the fucking water. Like
yep.
how big it's going to be and how massive.
It was pretty flawless.
Yeah. And I just also like that most people just, at least the comedians, just went for it. Like, this is what this is. And if you're not, then don't watch it. You know what I mean? Like,
people said retarded. It made me happy to hear. Like, just it's a point.
The racial jokes going back and forth. The sexist jokes going back and forth. I loved it.
That is what a roast is for.
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be.
It's like maybe like the last truly sacred place at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Not to harp on, like, I hate when people always just criticize who did bad. But can we talk about Ben Affleck for a minute?
Yeah, I think he's been bad in everything that I've ever seen him do. So. It wasn't surprising. You and I argue about
this. We have different feelings on this, but
I think you're just partial because you're a Boston guy.
I think I can put that aside. I think Matt Damon is a thousand times ahead of Affleck, but Affleck has done some good stuff.
What?
Give me a second.
Yeah, see? There you go.
Good Will Hunting. Great. The Town. I thought he was good in The Town. And that might be about it, but that's fine.
I don't think he was great Argo? In The Town. I think I didn't like that movie. But The Town I did like.
He is a great director, I will say.
But I don't think he brought anything different to The Town.
Okay. Do
you know what I mean?
So that could have been just as good without with somebody else.
And what's his name? Who's the other guy in it?
Jeremy Renner.
I think.
He was better.
I think he's one of the fucking most talented actors around.
Is he good now, by the way?
I think he's on his way to being good.
Can he walk?
Yeah.
God, that was crazy shit.
Fucked up.
I thought the Affleck was that was tough. Is it one of those things where you're there and I'm kind of sweating a little bit?
Yeah.
Like, why is he harping on this fan thing? And like, he's doing that thing where when you're nervous, you just keep saying fucking, mm-hmm. fucking.
Yeah, he just wasn't good.
Yeah. And he's the only one that did his part and then walked directly off stage.
Yeah.
And probably got his, he didn't sit down to enjoy the rest.
Yeah, because he didn't want people talking shit. You're probably right.
Yeah.
Which is another, like. If you're going to go, go.
Of course.
Everyone's open.
Dish it out.
It's open season on anyone taking part.
Yeah,
you know?
I completely agree.
Yeah, but I was not. Even my wife was like, that was kind of fucking awkward and terrible.
Speaking of awkward and terrible, anything else for the roast, by the way?
No, I just... just that I believe that it was proof that he's gay, Tom Brady. And here, I have one question.
Sure.
Because there's a lot of, like, you know, I know, what's her name? Sam J. She's like, I'm a Bostonian, and da da da. Why do you guys from Boston are so Patriot heavy? Because they're not a Boston team. They're not like
the Boston they are. Red Sox. They were the Boston Patriots back in the day.
When?
Maybe the 60s or 60s, maybe?
You're grandfathered out.
No, that's fine. But like,
they're the New England Patriots.
But they play.
They're not a Boston team.
Correct. I'm from New England. I mean, I do claim.
So are other people that aren't from Boston. They also, that's my point.
They do play in Massachusetts.
But you guys kind of claim them.
Of course we do.
This is our team.
They claim us, dude. They are our team. People in Maine claim them. New Hampshire, Vermont.
You get when you have a gay quarterback.
But I will tell you what it is. Is the Patriots... were always so fucking bad. Like when I was a kid, it was like Steve Grogan and then Bledsoe was supposed to be like the savior guy.
But it was when they had the guy on the helmet.
This guy.
Yeah.
That's the guy. It's way better than what they called the Flying Elvis. It's terrible.
Are the Redskins no longer?
No. The
Washington what now? I know that was a controversy.
Commanders. Commanders. I like Redskins.
Yeah, me too. That's another one I never understood. Like,
the Cleveland Indians are gone.
Really?
Yeah. They're the Guardians. Yep.
Well, how does that make Guardians feel?
But we do still have the Alabama, which is great. I mean, they're still... You can go ahead and clip that one out.
The New York N-words.
It's the Knickerbockers.
Yeah.
We've gone over this before.
But it's
the K-word.
I just don't understand. Like,
I'll tell you what it is. I mean, it truly is because the Patriots were so bad for forever. And then Brady came along and he won a championship in his first season. And it was like, go ahead.
He came along.
Yeah, he sure did.
Every guy's ass chin. He saw.
But he was just, I mean, he really is the best to ever do it. He played in 10 Super Bowls, which is fucking insane. And he won 7 of them. It's a 700%, like 70% of his Super Bowls.
So do you think he's the best quarterback ever?
Without question.
Because it does take a team. He's got people.
Of course
people,
it does.
And Patriots.
Joe Montana is right there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I was going to say.
But Brady did it with a different coach. He had a 20-something year career, and he won with different teams, like different groups of dudes over and over and over again, and two different teams, different owners, different coaches. And when there's 2 minutes left in the game, it was insane to watch. He would come through almost every single time. I mean, we'll never see it again. It was as a Boston fan.
I just don't agree.
How do you not agree? It's not even really debatable.
It's different players now. It's like any sport, okay? So you have say you have like a Michael Jordan.
Yep.
Right? We'll talk basketball for a second.
Sure.
Say you have Michael Jordan, who's like obviously the best.
Not
right?
obviously anymore.
But that's what I'm saying.
Right.
Why? Who's
LeBron.
Up there now?
LeBron is
right, which is just a joke that's even a comparison, but
why?
LeBron plays in a different game mm-hmm. than Michael Jordan played in the 80s. So
how
Tom
so?
Brady.
How so? What's different?
Rules are different. Pay is different. Agents and all that. Like, there's so many other factors.
I'm open to all this, by the way.
It becoming like a major athlete and sports phenom that is different today than it was before YouTubes and before streaming and before. Before the sneaker deals and the like that Michael's just he started that actually.
Absolutely.
Right. So
of course.
So the game definitely changes and players aren't as hardcore, I think, in any sport as they were in the 60s or the 70s or the 80s because I can't get hurt. I have to do that. You know what I mean? Like, I have other career opportunities. I can't fuck my face up. You know, there's other pressures mm-hmm. that didn't exist with certain. So if you have like Joe Namath playing in the fucking snow for the Jets, that's a different game that he was playing with different type of human beings in those games than today. And there's rules for protection. Just think about the one bar across or a mm-hmm. leather helmet
yep.
compared to what they have now, protection-wise. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying it's really hard to say if he's the best ever. He's the best ever in this time period. You know what I mean?
Who would you consider the best quarterback?
I would put Joe Montana
or Tom Brady. It is only those guys. Like no one else ever even comes up in discussions about it amongst football, unbiased football fans, it's Joe Montana or Tom Brady. And it's like, if you really break it down, Tom Brady blew away every single record Montana had. Montana has no records that Tom Brady hasn't beaten
right.
by a lot.
I hate Joe Montana, and I didn't always, and I'll tell you why.
Please.
So I'll give you Brady just because I hate Montana right now. I saw an interview or I read an interview where he talked about, because he was at Notre Dame when Rudy played, Rudy Rudiger.
Never Daniel saw the movie. Rudiger.
Oh.
Never saw the movie.
Dude, how
I know. I love sports movies. I never did.
I can't. You've never seen Raging Bull? Those are two sports movies, essentially.
I know.
Open Invitation, you come over.
I've seen I saw Fever Pitch.
Rudy is the best. Rudy and Hoosiers, I think, are the two best sports.
Rocky? Come on, man.
I don't consider that so much a sports movie. There's so much other shit going
there is,
on in that
but,
movie.
There is, but
I mean, I guess you're right. I'll take that back. I guess it is a sports movie.
Another great one, Miracle.
Miracle's great, but
Disney
the original. The original.
Original?
There's an original.
I'm talking Kurt Russell, dude.
No, I know, but there's an original that I think is better. Miracle on Ice, it's called. No, I'm going
to
play with
stop.
This.
You have to stop that, please. Mute your mic.
Miracle on Ice is the one that they made when I was a kid.
I didn't know it was another theatrical movie of that.
Yeah, and you should watch it because it's really good.
Okay, actually. Back to Joe Montana.
All right, but he said in an interview like, that's bullshit. It was all a joke when they carried him off the field because they carry him off the field at the end. It doesn't really ruin anything for you if you haven't seen the movie.
I mean, I've seen that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He downplayed the whole significance of the movie. Like, he was a joke.
Why would he do that?
Who knows? But people got really pissed at him for it because people love that.
Were Rudy and Montana, like, did they?
No, I don't think so.
So there was no, like, animosity? It was just the attention, maybe?
It was just maybe the attention, or why are you making a movie about this guy? You know, when, like, look at me, I'm Joe Montana, make a movie about, who knows? But I lost complete respect for him because he killed it for me, kind of.
Fair.
But have you seen Hoosiers?
Yes. When I was a kid. Great. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To me, that and Rudy are the two best sports movies ever. Like, feel good at the end of the movie sports movies, yeah.
One more thing about what endeared Patriots fans or to the Patriots specifically. That first
Tom Brady's gayness?
Yeah, in 2001 is when they won their first Super Bowl. And they were playing the St. Louis Rams, who called themselves like the best show on turf. They were just, that whole season, the Rams were just unbelievably good. Mm-hmm. The Patriots were the supreme underdog. There was no way they were supposed to beat the Rams. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in the Super Bowl, like Ohio State University, Todd Newman, mm-hmm. and each guy in their college, one by one, the Rams are introduced.
I would never go to Ohio State.
Whatever. It takes forever to name every guy.
Right, right.
And then it came time for the Patriots, and they say, the New England Patriots have chosen to come out as a team. So here are your New England Patriots.
Right.
And at that moment, we're all like, we just won the Super Bowl.
Right, right.
That was the most, that had never been done before in Super Bowl history. And now every team does that. So it planted the seed of like, don't say, not a cum joke. It planted the seed of like, this is a full on team. It was badass, and it was the moment that we all. It was right, like,
so everybody from Boston just jumped on the coattails of their awesomeness.
You're damn right. That's the whole point of sports. That's what we do. That's the whole point.
No. You're either a fan or you're not.
Of course, we've always loved the Patriots, even when they sucked ass, right. And we were lucky to have 20 years.
Apparently, from what I saw at that roast, they still suck ass.
a little bit, but that's it.
So let's ask you this: How would you feel if, like, he just came out, literally came out, and was like, just so you know, all those jokes, they're all true.
Oh, I don't give a fuck. If Tom Brady came out and said, I'm a gay man.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. It makes it even better.
I know. I'm really just setting you up to see what you would say.
Well, I think
it would too, actually.
I wouldn't care at all.
Yeah.
And it would make me think, like, when I met him, I should have actually tried to suck his dick.
But how many people do you think would have backlash from Boston? That's not a progressive fucking place.
Boston has not caught up to where society's at with a lot of things.
It's very unwoke.
I like the Boston racist jokes in there as well. About how Randy Moss has been fighting racism his whole career, which is why he refused to win a Super Bowl when he was in Boston.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Oh, man.
That was good shit. Can I ask you a serious question?
Yes.
Have you ever sang happy birthday to a dog?
Ever sang happy birthday to a dog?
Because someone in this room has.
And it's not me. It didn't
happen.
Him and I were on the phone the other day, and he's like, I gotta hang up soon. We have to go to my girlfriend's brother's house to sing happy birthday to his dog. I was like, dude, what did you say?
I can understand you if little it was fucking... your dog, but...
Dude, it's an eight... How old's the dog, you idiot? I have to go... It's the dog's birthday. We have to stop what we're doing and go sing happy birthday to a dog.
Did you sing it like in dog tones?
This didn't
like
woo, 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 woo.
I've never wanted to be your friend less.
I fully understand. I've never wanted to be myself less.
Why would you even tell me that?
Because, dude, I'm fucking dumb.
Do you want to know how dumb he is?
No.
Yes.
Tell me.
Today, we went into, the band didn't rehearse today, but we went in to do some work anyway. And I made a joke about like Mexicans or something and Navarro. And he just like, he was like this, his mouth agape. Huh? And he's like, I don't get it. What do you mean? I'm like, Navarro. He goes, what? I'm like, he's Mexican. He's like, he is? He thought, this fucking dude thought that Dave Navarro was a white guy.
He changed his name from Jones to Navarro, from Smith to
McNeil.
Navarro.
It was Dave McNeil is what it used to be.
I'm going to go ahead and leave now.
And it's like, I've never met someone else named Navarro. I didn't know. But even if you, even sounding it out, yeah. It only sounds like it's from one place. And, dude, he's fucking brown.
He's. I'll give him that. He's not really
he's
brown.
He's not white. He's
but
olive.
He definitely looks
Latino. Hispanic. Yeah, Hispanic.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, couldn't believe it. Are you sure we're recording?
I stopped recording when you brought up the dog.
I thought you might have.
Cut.
So Todd. dude.
Are you a fucking retard or what?
Yes.
Are you a fucking retard?
Why? Why did
which
you share
part?
That? Yeah,
which and part?
You said you weren't going to do it, but you have to be honest right now. Did you go do it?
No, we didn't. No.
Why? How did your girlfriend let you? Please, you have to stop that. How did your girlfriend let you not go sing to the dog?
I don't think she even did it.
Whoa.
We got busy with other shit. So.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I'll keep you posted.
You guys sing
instead of singing happy birthday, how about we fuck?
Much better.
Something yes. more manly.
Do you ever sing happy birthday to Jake, your dog?
No, that's what I was trying to think. Is have I ever done that? Because that's the only dog I ever would have, because the only dog I've ever owned. I'm certainly not going to do it for, like, you know, my brother's friend's cousin's 8-year-old dog.
Can you imagine driving somewhere to sing to a dog?
Like, and I don't think I have.
Did 100%?
Yeah, I don't think we've done, but I do get him like birthday gifts.
That's okay.
My dog.
But you also, speaking, dude, can we talk about gifts for a minute?
Mm-hmm.
You are known, I've said it a million times, what a great gift giver you are. Once again, you rolled in and you brought, is that showing up? Breakfast Club socks. We got John Bender and what's Claire's last name actually? Claire Standish?
Yeah.
This Claire? Doesn't make sense.
It's a fat girl's
dude,
name.
John Bender and Claire Standish socks. I'm so stoked about this.
I got myself two. I was just like, add to cart two.
You got both of them?
Yeah.
Or just
I got,
Bender?
No, I got both of these. But I got them for you.
Thank you.
And then there's Andrew Clark ones, which I won't allow you to wear.
Why is that?
Because just he's just not the guy in that movie.
True.
He's a pivotal guy in the movie.
I feel like you wouldn't let me wear Bender because he's the obvious favorite of everybody.
No, but he's cool enough. He's the guy, you know? And like, I looked for, and I'm sure they make them, but I just didn't see them for sale anywhere.
Allison
socks.
Allison would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
But this is the couple. This is the happy couple in the movie.
But I almost feel like Allison is cooler than her in the movie.
Oh, than Claire?
Yeah, like character-wise. Like
A 1,000,000%.
Yeah. But the Andrew, I just, the jock thing. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, because I just watched it recently too with Lola. She had never seen it. And the one cringeworthy part of that movie to me, let's see if you could spot it. There's one part of the movie where I'm like, I wish they cut this out. I wish they didn't have this.
Considering it has to do with Allison? Or with the...
With whoever.
The one cringy part.
Yeah, where I'm just like, this movie did not need this, and I hate when it comes on, and I'm embarrassed
It has to be the dance break. Is it the dancing?
Well, it's the dancing. It's the dance break, but not even that part.
Because they wouldn't have had music. They wouldn't have had music going. They had no way to play music. So what are they all dancing to? That's what I was wondering.
Well, he puts on the music in that little room. Yeah, Brian does.
He does?
Right? Yeah, he goes in, you hear the record scratch. One thing that you have to suspend
belief is... Why is there a record player in the library?
Why is there a record player in the library, and how does the guy not fucking hear it?
That's what I'm saying. That's why I always thought that they were just pretending.
No, so he does. He puts on music. The fucking part that I can't deal with...
When Allison becomes the hot chick?
No, I like that too.
You do?
I mean, it doesn't bother me.
It makes me feel like you should be ashamed for being gothy, and that always bugged me.
Well, Lola
Have
made...
Have you seen Breakfast Club?
Lola made a great comment. She was like, I like the way she looked before. Like,
Fuck
I think
yeah.
she looks
That's your
plain.
Daughter.
And I'm like, yeah, exactly. So that would be my complaint with that is she looked way hotter to me, all fucked up and gothy.
Cringy. I don't know.
It's where Emilio Estevez smokes the joint and he has like this,
and he's breaking the glass.
Yeah, and he's doing flips all over the thing, and then he breaks the glass with the thing. Like,
it wasn't PCP; it was fucking weed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I just didn't. I don't buy it. I don't like it. I don't like the way he acted it. It makes me embarrassed for humanity. Yeah, yeah, that whole thing.
The punching.
So, like, I'll forward through that every time.
Interesting. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yeah, the whole dance part I didn't
that,
care for.
And that's why no socks. Okay. You cannot wear those socks.
What about Brian Johnson?
Yes, you could wear them. If I find those socks, I'll buy them for you, too.
Check this out.
I'll tell you a story off air.
Off air?
Him. Yeah.
Well, can you tell it without saying who it
I
is?
I had very, yeah, I had interactions okay. with a certain person that okay. I'll tell you about, but I can't tell you what the interactions were.
Can, okay, all right.
They're very Tom Brady-ish.
What?
No, I'm just kidding.
This guy's a 7-time Super Bowl champion? Yeah. Holy yeah. shit, dude. Wow. Can you tell it? We can cut it out?
No.
You don't even want it recorded.
It's not even that. I'll okay. just tell you after.
All right, cool. All right, fair enough.
It's always good to keep the people thinking. There should be mystery shrouding yeah, they
wanna
the show.
They want
to
be a part of this so yeah. bad. So, so bad. All right.
They want to be a part of it more than I do.
Jesus Christ, dude. The sad part is it's so true. So true. Did I send you the cast did a sit-down Q&A? Did I send you that link?
Mm-mm.
The Breakfast Club cast did like a
yeah. A who was the ago. One that didn't? There was one person Emilio. That didn't go, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, good.
Of course.
Good. Then it's my kind of reunion.
But it was great watching them like talk about the characters. And Bender showed up for his audition in these clothes.
In the clothes, yeah.
And like he didn't give a fuck. He had the whole thing figured out.
Right.
But
Judd
Nelson is someone I've wanted to interview or talk to. Forever.
Right.
We were trying to track him down for Dark Matter.
Dark Matter, I remember.
But he's kind of like an off-the-grid dude.
Yeah, I used to work in a place, I think I told you this, when I first moved out here, a restaurant, and he used to come in there.
The pizza spot?
Yeah, and he was one of the first kind of, I was 22 years old, like he was one of the first like, oh my God, this is a guy from the fucking Breakfast Club kind of moments.
Yeah.
And it was cool because I was working at a place that was owned by an actor. And he was doing lines from my boss's movie to me, which was just a very surreal experience. Yep. But he was a nice guy to me.
Did he have the goatee then?
Yeah.
His off-screen goatee guy?
Yeah, yes, he did.
He's got a cool look. Even still nowadays, he's got a cool look.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish he would fucking do more.
I guess in this Q&A, they were talking about how, you know, we've always discussed why haven't all the John Hughes movies been...
Shit.
Unbelievable.
Go ahead.
Todd's phone is going off. Some bullshit about his dogs. Todd's phone is going off. Now, back to the pod.
I didn't know we were going to be able to use that one again.
That's yeah, right. Usually I'm not here at this yeah, time. Yeah. I have a lot
or
of alarms.
Or here at all.
I have a lot of alarms in my phone.
I know
phone.
You do. What were we saying? What were we talking about?
The Q&A.
Oh, like what we were, we've always been worried that people are going to start remaking John Hughes movies.
Yeah. I guess impossible.
He has some kind of like a clause in his contracts that like forbids his movies from being remade. Because they were talking about on the panel where like
if he owns the masters, like how a musician can potentially own their masters and you can't.
Right. Like one of his, I don't know if they said this, but like one of his last wishes, like in his estate, is that his films are not remade.
And they shouldn't be.
Absolutely
because
not.
Because there are a handful of directors.
Imagine remaking Tarantino. Imagine someone remaking Pulp Fiction.
Right. Well, there's a handful of directors that direct movies in a specific style that's only singular to them. Wes Anderson does it. Like, so... If you want to remake that movie, just don't even call it that. Don't even, like, if you want to, like,
repackage it in a sneaky way.
Yeah, just make
Detention Saturday or something.
Yeah. You can't, you know, that's like, I liken it to music as well. Like, I guess, you know, there you can take a Beatles song and remake it into, like, a fucking thrash version of whatever. Mm-hmm. There was actually a band in the 80s that did a cover version of Eleanor Rigby that's completely speed metal. And I liked it. That's different.
If you're going to do it, don't. It has to be almost unrecognizable.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, but these, like, why? Just fucking re-release it. If there's a studio that owned it, I get that he has this clause where you can't remake it, but do a deal with his estate and re-release it theatrically.
Yeah.
Make it a fucking thing where,
do the 4K,
parents my age are going to take their kids and do the movie experience.
I saw it a couple years ago at the New Beverly. The New Beverly on, it's on Beverly, right?
Yeah.
Which is Tarantino bought the theater and saved it.
Yes.
He does, he's great. I invited you to, what did I invite you to recently?
Was it 16 Candles?
No, it was Heat.
Oh, yeah, Heat. I just couldn't go. Heat was
so fucking great.
Yeah, Heat's great.
But in that Q&A, it was, all of them have such love for John Hughes. And they were saying that, like, how would you what makes his movies great to you? What was it that he was so good at? I want to see if you same thing that they said.
It's, I mean, I'm sure I'm not going to say the same thing that they said, but there's like a music to his film, and I don't mean musical, that makes it specific to him. And from what I've seen interview-wise with him, he always had love affairs with his characters. Not for real, but like with Molly Ringwald or the actresses that were. I think that he understood the time period that he made movies and what teens, especially like the 14 to like 16, 17 year old, I think he had an understanding of that adults just did not have.
That's what they said. Okay. They said that the what they loved about working with him and what came through in his movies is he's like maybe the first director that ever didn't portray young people as children.
Right.
That like teenagers, they do have their own sort of like mature feelings. They are they're not just like dumb idiot, you know, they're that too.
Yeah.
But he humanized like high school people and junior high people.
And especially
give them depth.
In that time period, he had a masterful understanding of the time period we were living in.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
So, yeah, and he was, there's a good documentary too. I think it's called like Looking for John Hughes or something like that. When he was still alive, there was a group of like fans that tried to contact him because he became a recluse and wouldn't go out in public.
Why?
And stop. Because I think he got slammed by critics of like, you know, oh, his movies are just bullshit teenage. Like some weird thing started happening where he wasn't getting accolade for anything. Because they were never up for nominations. Or like he wasn't getting the
recognition
from the business or his peers as being taken seriously as a filmmaker. And I think he just had one of those types of personality where he was just like, fuck this. And he just kind of went underground. And they tried to contact him before he passed away. And then he died really young, too.
How old was John Hughes when he died?
John Hughes died August 6th, 2009, at age 59 in New York City.
Yeah, I mean, that's not
young.
Old.
That's young.
But that's a great documentary to watch, but because they really kind of go into that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Plus, if you watch those movies now, the shit that they got away with, like Oof. The way the culture has changed, like yep. you actually can't remake those movies.
No chance.
And yeah, you can go back and re-examine, but that's the way it was back then. Like, why go back and re-examine? It's just not like that anymore.
No point.
You know what I mean?
No point.
Like, so.
Plus with ChatGPT, you can write your own new features all the time
That's
now.
That's right.
Have you fucked around with it at all?
I have fucked around with it at all. And a project that I'm working on that I'm just going to be tight-lipped about what it is. But a project that I'm working on, I was given a little advice. Like, you should try and convert this into a book. And I just started, just out of curiosity, just feeding it. I'm not asking it to create content for me. I'm putting the content in. That's, I think, where a lot of the issue is of where it could be used as a tool or where it could be the Terminator.
You're coming in with, you're coming in with a fleshed out idea with characters, with dialogue,
With everything and just feeding it in and having it reformat. So the stuff that it spit out, of course, I have to sit there for weeks and punch it up, like rewrite it. And it'll start using the same words for adjectives over and over again, or it'll misunderstand stuff and start calling your character he when it's a she or stuff. So you have to spot all that kind of stuff.
That's okay nowadays.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly.
Please don't gender your characters, dude.
But just for workload, like literally it would take me a fucking year to do what I did in a day.
In one day.
One day. Now, I have weeks of work cleaning that part up.
But still.
But it's all my content. It's all.
That's astounding.
So, yeah, it's not. So I'm against it, to be honest.
This is like, what I want to get to here.
I'm against using AI to create.
It's the Ozempic of creativity.
Yeah. Well, it's fun to like fucking create pictures and whatever and like do deep fakes. It's fun in an entertainment way.
But then do you pass off those pictures as your own art?
Right. That's the thing is it's not. I mean, you know, you're not an artist if you have it make a painting for you. Push out, you know, Picasso's the meets, da-da-da-da-da, and you give it this super prompt and it pushes out this thing and then you print it out and you frame it. No, you're just like a conductor. You're not.
Not even. Yeah, you're just like,
yeah, it's just.
Someone do this for me.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, great.
You know, to me, it strips
you're
out.
You're Rick Rubin.
Yeah. Well, I think it strips out the human connection. And I hope that humanity eventually recognizes that you have to have that connection to be moved by something. That's human.
We're not going to figure that out.
I know we're not going to figure
that out.
Look
at Amazon. Like, yeah. We're told from the beginning, like, you have to support mom and pop shops. Right. We're not.
Right.
Whatever is easiest is what we will do.
Right, right. But if you're standing, you know, if you're standing in, you know, a museum in Europe and you see these, you know, I was just in the Vatican. I was just at the Colosseum. Like, and this is saying that you know. One thing is AI generated and one thing has been standing for hundreds of years and was made with the bare hands of human beings in pain and living in a time. If you elicit the same fucking reaction to it, I just feel bad for you. Mm. You know what I mean? But like the ability to fake stuff is going to be way easier. I just hope that true artists can see the difference between to get the visceral reaction to it. So on the one hand, look at it like, well, I was just having a conversation about this with someone the other night who eloquently put it like, if think about like Pro Tools, right? Or if you're making music. It used to be you just had to do everything in a studio with real instruments and da, 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 da and all that. And then these things come where you had to have an engineer, someone who knew how to work the board, producer, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then technology changed and you could potentially
need a laptop and an interface.
Right. And an interface and you could start creating music. The people who are listening to the music still know what's good and what's not. You know what I mean? And what's, you know, there's that part of, but it helped people who couldn't afford an engineer,
yep.
Who couldn't afford studio time, who were talented.
Yep.
So it was used as a tool, Absolutely. Pro Tools, yeah. Right? If you can use AI as a tool, the way I am, like I already have all the creation. I just need it reformatted so that it doesn't take me 6 months to a year to retype everything out. In that way, it could be something that's useful. It won't be because human beings are disgusting, evil people that will use it to make money quicker and faster.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know. I'm on the fence, you know, like I just used it for something and it helped me tremendously push out something that would have been so time consuming that wasn't.
But
know?
Do
so
we
know,
do we know as people when to pull back?
Well,
this is too easy. This needs to be harder for me. I don't think people are going to do that.
Right. It makes me think like, think about like what fucking like Stephen King must feel like.
Dude, you know, like we just, this guy died yesterday. Steve Albini.
Yeah.
Steve Albini.
The producer.
He died yesterday. He did Nirvana In Utero. He produced the Pixies.
Mm-hmm.
And his whole thing was like, we're not chasing perfection. Like, right. And he goes, I'm here to like, his whole thing was like, I'm here to work for the band. Mistakes are good. We don't need to be perfect. And with technology, things are just, it's needs to be so perfect.
Too perfect. Yeah.
Did you see the quote I posted of his?
Uh-uh.
It says,
I did see it.
Yeah. Let's see here. Da-da-da. Any day now. Anyway, whatever. Remixing is for talentless pussies who don't know how to tune a drum or point a microphone.
Right.
Yeah. Not doing the work. But yeah, AI is weird. It's a very slippery slope. I've started messing around with those AI songs. And he used to like play music and be in bands and stuff. And you sent me something. You just put some of your old lyrics and sent it into this Suno thing.
Yeah, it's fucking insane.
And what was your prompt? Hear the lyrics and you say,
you type the lyrics and then you type genre.
And that's it.
Put like bluesy, gritty, guitar, rock.
And it shits out two versions. And like, you can't tell that that's a computer. It's even
there's some spots where you're like, that's a very digital sounding voice.
Right. Yeah.
But it was very interesting watching how it took like it knew what the chorus was.
Right.
Like I did it for a couple different ones and it knew like, oh, that chunk's the chorus. It knew how to split the verses. But some of the stuff it did was interesting. Like, oh, it turned that into more of like a bridge part, like just weird shit like that. But I wouldn't like put that on in my car and listen to it. It was just interesting.
Well, that's what I was trying to convey before is like, if you take an AI generated song and then you take a version, say you take a version of like, you know, what's the most emotion filled rock song that everybody knows?
Stairway to Heaven.
So say, take that and then have AI recreate Stairway to Heaven, you know, Robert Plant style.
Oh, right.
Da, 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 da. Is the human listening to it, the human interaction you're having with the song visceral enough that you can hear the emotion behind and feel the original compared to the AI?
No, but kids born now, right now, who are like, or kids that are 5 years old now, as AI music becomes the norm, I think they're going to care about that less and less. Where like, they're just going to, like most people don't go far back before they were born to listen to music. You know, not everyone does that.
I do.
You do, but not everyone does.
I sought out, like, I wanted to.
Your kids aren't listening to Lead Belly or Eric Johnson.
Well, in they the car are. With you, yeah, they are because I don't make them, but I have it on purposely so that it's in the background of their existence.
But the stuff that the music that we love most as people is the stuff that we grew up with. Kids now are going to grow up with AI music.
Right.
That are like not real artists.
Right, that's what makes me fucking sad for that, because it's like, you know, thank God I'll be dead when there's just nothing but a bunch of fake bullshit in the entire world. This is where Skynet takes over.
Everyone makes that comment, but it's not.
Well,
it's
he
not
said
fetched,
he just
dude.
Well, he just had some quote James Cameron somewhere. Someone was, I don't know if I saw it or someone was telling me about it, but he was like, they asked him like, "What do you think the evils of AI are?" He's like, "I made a movie about it 25 years ago, like that
40
that, yeah whatever 40
years
it is,
ago
yeah.
Terminator 84
yeah he's like I already made a movie about that was his answer, like that's what can happen, that's the bad stuff.
If there aren't regulations, which so far there's not really,
right,
that really is
there are starting to, like I said, this conversation that I had with this guy the other night, he's way more informed than I was because it's part of his business, affecting his end of his business. And he's a creative guy.
Okay.
And there are legislations that are being passed through and laws of like what can be copyrighted, what can you use, what can you sell as your own There's been court cases that he was citing, you know, this company took this guy to court saying that he didn't, this isn't his work because he used AI. And now it's because, like, once you put something into AI too, you're kind of letting it go also, because now it can use it in its database. It
learns.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a learning computer.
It's a learning computer.
It's so crazy. So someone just, you know, the.
Wait, have you seen all those videos where it's just Arnold, Schwartz,
of course,
but it's just Arnold noises, like,
no,
it's just like some scene from some famous movie where it's just there's no, there's not even any finesse to it anymore. They're hilarious.
I'll look that up. Someone just put, you know how robots are getting better and better? Someone just put ChatGPT into a robot and just sat like this and interacted and like whatever its name was, like, hey, can you give me some food? It goes, of course I can. And there's a bunch of shit in front of it. It knew what the apple was, picked up the apple, gave it to the guy,
right,
and said, cool, would you mind putting the dishes where you think they go? It goes, of course. It picks up the dishes and sees that other dishes are in like a dish rack. Like, we're there. Things
you
are winding
suck
down.
My dick.
Yeah. Of course. Right away,
of
sir.
Of course.
Yeah, it's scary shit. All right. I think we're good here.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in, buddy.
Thank you for having me.
See you next year, hopefully, sometime.
Yeah.
Wonderful. ASMR Todd. Throb, thank you very much. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week.
This is Lola, and I'm here to tell the world to stop being such pussies and listen to Rareform Radio.